You know, we have a series of pastors flying in from all over the world, and I'm one of them that just made it in. So I have a little a message that I shouldn't be long. Look up here, and then and try to make some points, you know, and hopefully I can make those because I struggled with this. I don't usually struggle. I usually stay up late, but I usually get it done. But it's like a struggle, and I can imagine why, because of the nature of this teaching. And the sermon's title is called "The Believer's Mentality." So why don't you open up your Bibles and your apps if you want, and go to 2 Corinthians 10:3, and then I'll wait for you 1 second, because I promised Keith that I would give one moment, and then proceed. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Okay, for weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, which are strongholds. Okay, which are strongholds. Okay. Did I get it? Yeah. Then also go to Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. Huh? Yeah, 10:3. And Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Bless the Lord. So the enemy has erected strongly fortified garrisons to resist the truth and thwart God's plan of redemption. Okay, this is what the enemy has done. He does not want the redeeming plan of God to succeed. There's a fortress of human reasoning, reinforced with many subtle arguments and the pretense of logic. There is a castle of passion with flaming battlements defended by lust, pleasure, and greed. And there is the pinnacle of pride in which the human heart sits enthroned and reveals and revels in the thoughts of its own excellency and sufficiency. Now, we might want to equate that with our fallen nature, okay? But what's going on here is that the enemy works to encamp around us. And then it's a siege. And then he wants to lay hold and hold us captive. Okay? So in so doing, there's a study of us going on. He studies us. He's been studying us from before. So if you think that people are studying us, like, you know, and they are, because we're Christians, non-believers study us, they test us, prod and poke us to see, are they really any different than me? You know, then you poke them. Okay, poke his eye. You know, it's never enough. Right in the eye, you know. It's always, they're testing us to see if we have any more substance because we're Christians. And, you know, and it can be aggravating, right? Because, I mean, it's one thing you poking me here, but when you got your finger in my eye, you know what I mean? You're apt to retaliate. And, you know, you want to defend yourself, but you not only want to defend yourself, you want to grab that finger and break it. You know, now that's the natural inclination, right? And so we have people studying us, and we have demons that provoke the people that are studying us to go further this time with that Christian. You know, just go a little further. Poke up the nose. Go up the nostril. You know what I mean? You know, just keep antagonizing. And so for most of us, by the time we've really fallen down flat on our faces to God, we've been poked and prodded and teased and ridiculed. And we've suffered a lot of cynicism and a lot of, you know, unfair, condescending attitudes. You know, by the time we're really in there, really on our face to God? We've been through something. So now that should answer our question that why does God let us go through so much? I mean, you know, it's because he's perfecting us. It really is. It doesn't mean he's hands off. It means he's hands on. He's in there trying to make something out of us that we otherwise would not be made of. Is it because if I grabbed the finger and broke it, then I need more finger? Okay, it's the truth, right? So, you know, we can't just, and so what prevents us from going all the way and grabbing the finger and breaking it is the Spirit of God that we're allowing to saturate our minds and hearts so that we can actually respond Christ-like to all the stuff that we're going through, right? Okay, so Satan wants us out of the way because he craves worship, and Christians are in the way of his worship. We're not worshiping the enemy, okay? Okay, let's think about this. It's like now Luciferians would bow down publicly and worship Satan, a Satanist, right? But then those that are not Christians are worshiping Satan inadvertently. They have no idea. You see what I'm saying? Because if you're not in Christ, you're actually worshiping something. And the alternative is Satan. That's the truth. Now, if we can get a Christian to compromise, if Satan could get a Christian to compromise, then he's going to get some worship. But if you're a real Christian, you're not worshiping him, so you're holding up his worship. Okay? You're in the way. There's no love for you. Right? Okay, I can use you as long as I can use you. You can serve me. You can get on stage and shake here and move there and groove here and there. And I'll use you as long as I need you. But if you're not drawing worship to me or you get old, you're as good as under the feet of men trampled. Okay? Right? One minute we got you're the salt of the earth. You're Whitney Houston. And the next minute you're splattered all over the tabloids. Right? Okay, do you know that is actually, and what's her theological beliefs that I can have the world and God too? So she's bringing glory to him, you know, in one sense to Satan. And on the other hand, she's being used so badly by him. And this is a common theme, okay? I'm not just using Whitney Houston because she's Whitney Houston. By now, we should know that this is a common theme. Okay, this goes on all the time. You strive for, you want to be what you want to be and go where you want to go and do what you want to do. You want your life, you want your cake, you want to eat it now. You want it, right? Then when you get it, you realize, if you don't, you should, that in order to keep these things that have been given to me, I need to serve the enemy. No one can convince me that I'm serving the enemy, and I'm in denial about it, but this is exactly what's going on here. Because if I'm compromised, I'm working greatly to maneuver the church in the wrong direction. Okay? This is why we abstain from a whole lot. Right? There's a whole lot of offers. Come here, do this. It's not that bad. Do this, that, and the other. Okay? Come on. Kick it. Kick it. You see what I'm saying? You need a break. Conkay needs a break. Okay? You come on over. So here's the point. Okay, some are going to kick it. I'm not saying your salvation is dependent on your resistance to kick it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if you really want to work for the Lord, you're going to evaluate everything against the will of God, right? Otherwise, you're going to be used by the enemy, right? And pretty soon when he's done using you, where are you? Trampled under the feet of men. I could care less, right? This is how he rolls, okay? So a siege is a military blockade of a city or fortress with the intent of conquering by attrition or a well-prepared assault. It comes from the Latin word sedere, literally meaning to sit. To sit. So if I was going to take Deborah's house from her and she looks out the window one day, she see me sitting there, you know, looking at her house. Why is he sitting there? Right? Okay, she might look out a little bit, later, and me and a concave and Adana are sitting there. It's a growing, mounting force sitting there because we want Deborah's house. We want to take it over.
And she peeking out the window, oh Lord, what's going on? They're crazy, okay?
It's a siege in the act, okay? We're planning on taking something. We want to take it and keep it and hold it. And because we want to build a stronghold in her house, right? And we don't want the stronghold overthrown. So we're studying her and looking for a way in. Remember the Roman occupation of Jerusalem. They were studying for a way to get in. Then they saw somebody come out to get water or something came out the hole. And they said, that's our way in. That's an entrance, right? So we're studying Deborah's house. We want to get in. It's a siege taking place. It's growing and mounting, and we're serious, right? Now, she's had every opportunity to just throw a flag up and let us in. But she's perplexed. She's perplexed. She's, what's going on out there, right? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take care of them, right? Okay, this is what we tend to do. You know, I'll take care of this. Move out the way, move. Right? Okay, so, all right, this is what God doesn't want us to do. And right now, a whole lot of that is going on. A whole lot is going on. For one thing, a lot of homes have been overtaken. A lot of human beings have been or are being possessed. Now, people don't want to believe Christians can be possessed. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. How can the devil possess you? And I agree. To a degree. I agree, because I do believe that there's any area, if there's any area in your heart, any area that I can lure you over, come on over, kick it. If you have that area in your heart and you're not dealing with it, there's an open door. I can get in, right? So that, look, we're just sitting there waiting. You know, she came out and she shot at some of us, but that's okay. We wanted her. We wanted her to do that. Said, fight in the flesh. We're supernatural. Shoot at us, right? This is a super, did you know? Did you just think that it was human beings sitting out there, right? Okay, this is a supernatural battle you have going on, and you're using natural means to try to protect yourself, right? Okay, so this is what the sermon is about. First and foremost, our mentality, it's been shaped into thinking we can manage this, we can handle this, okay? And it's okay dibbling and dabbling in the world, right? Okay, this is life. This is life I've always known this to be life. This is how things roll. You stay out there in the world so long, you only have the world's mechanisms to rely on, right? Okay, I'm trying to say this in a way that's diplomatic. It might be hard-hitting, but I'm hitting myself pretty hard right now, because I'm honest to goodness. You know, look, if it was a criteria for preaching, I wouldn't deserve to be up here preaching this message, okay? So it's me, okay? I do it too. You know, I'm always longing to throw in the towel and then, you know, just go take a break. And my breaks might seem futile, Green Acres and the Honeymooners or whatever the case may be, you know, they might seem that way, but downtime and idle time is not good time, because you can take the look. You need a break, but a break in the Lord is what you need. So if you think you need a break from all your ministry, realize you haven't taken a break in God. Okay. A break in God is really kick your feet up and put on something that he's going to minister to you, revive you, renew you, right? And get it going on. Otherwise, okay, we're going to feed off the world, and the break that we thought we were getting turns out to be a craving for another break from the world and another break from the world, and now we're feeding off the world. And the siege wants to take over and force feed you. It's not a feeding that you get to satisfy your appetite in bits and pieces. It's an intravenous pumping in. Let us pump it into you. We're going to force feed you because you're not eating properly. That's why we're encamped around Deborah's house. We want to force feed her. We want to stronghold it. We want to move in. We want to stay. That's what we want. Let us in, Deborah. No? Okay. She said no. All right.
So, okay, there's a way to keep us out. Okay, there's a way. You can't pull your gun out. You can't count on your Uzi, you know. You can't count on the neighbors and the strategy. You can call on the Christians. But our weapons of warfare are not carnal, right? They're not. They're not. And this is the last thing we tend to resort to because our nature kicks in. I can take care of this, right? I'm being honest. I'm not trying to tell you I have a gun or anything. I'm just trying to tell you what our natural inclination is. Okay, I need to defend myself. I got people in here I love. I need to take care of it. And our analytical methods are usually, let me study them. Let me study what's going on out there. I'm smart too, you know. Yeah, let me see, you know. Let me study this situation. Demons are created higher than us. There's a woman. You see her? Rod or somebody, she might want to come in. There they go. And then, where was I? Yeah. So the demons, yeah, that the demons are, they're above us. Okay, God made us lower than the angels. Okay, these demons are fallen and they're perfecting their craft. Over time, they watched us. They've been able to get many of us to submit and you know, right? And they fall and they've caused shepherds to fall. These shepherds that are shepherding the flock. Look, we have to be serious. We have to think. Okay, shepherds before us could fall. Shepherds coming can fall. They cause shepherds to fall. And they make a mockery out of them. I mean, they study us and they look for ways to make fools out of us in front of the world. And to get us to doubt ourselves and God. Okay, this is what they try to do. They operate, they're patient. They have more patience than us. They can sit and study us and then get their way finally if we try to respond in the natural. Our carnal thinking is no match for the wisdom of a fallen angel that's actually been. They're wicked and evil, but they're not dumb. Okay, they're not dumb. And so while we're trying to deal with people that are submitting to these demons, or if we're trying to deal with people that we know are demonically possessed, you know, or if we're trying to deal with anything demonic, we need God to deal with these people or these entities. Okay? Now, I was telling Pastor Rick the other day that, you know, it's really strange to me. The people that I do a lot of talking to, a lot of different people on the street. You know, I just come running up, talking, running my mouth. They think I'm crazy. You know, I don't mind as much as I guess the ordinary person because I actually used to be on drugs. So do you realize this? And this might sound strange to you, but some of their lives, the lifestyle that drug addicts live, is attractive to me. You know, the part that you're relaxing, chilling on the street on a nice day or whatever with your feet up or whatever. See, I have selective memory. I don't want to see the part that I don't have any place to go tonight. But, you know, I want to see the part that I like, that just chilling, kicking, whatever. You know, that part, that looks attractive. So I'm not going to say it doesn't. And so I have to be careful because that part can compel me, right? But I also know there's an end that seems, the end of this, that seems like it's going to turn out good and you know, right? It usually turns out worse. It's worse. And I can see the number of people that I'm talking to and where they're going to end up tonight. And it's going to be cold, not warm, right? And then where you dress today right now is not going to suffice for tonight, right? So I'm trying to get in there, you know, and then trying to plug in some information and get some information going on from the Lord to the people. I believe, though, here of late, there's been so many people that are so much more demonically influenced. Yes. It's just weird. I mean, it's not hidden. It's kind of weird. Yeah, that I'm talking to people and they're talking to, yeah, you're right. And so we should just go over there because, you know, I created this. You know, I created this place. You know, and I'm just like, right. You know,
You know, you did. You're right. Yeah. So it's kind of like, are you high now? I don't mind asking. You know, are you high now? No, I haven't used anything in a couple. Are you lying? Are you telling the truth? I'm serious. I haven't used anything. So it's elongating, or it's carrying out. It's not, you're not detoxing as fast as you used to, right? It used to be that you could get high and then tomorrow you'd wake up and realize what you'd done. But I think the drugs now they're ongoing. They're going on. Yeah. And so I'm tripping behind that. Yeah. Yeah. It's a trip because there's a difference. And I used to think that the drug user was, you know, more prone to start talking about he's God. I've noticed that meth addicts are more so than not are explaining to me they think they're God. How is that this drug is making these people think this way? Right? Now, drug use is a door opening for demonic influence. It definitely is. Okay? The Lord warned against pharmakia and witchcraft and all of this kind of stuff in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament in Acts, the witches and the sorcerers came and threw their books in, remember, and set them on fire. So it was going on. It's been going on for forever. But what I'm saying now is that I believe that it's not just concentrated in, like, Rome, where they imploded. This world is now Rome. So it kind of looks like, you know, yeah, right, like where it was just concentrated here and you could see it here because it's been depicted in the Bible and all of this stuff. I think the implosion that seemed to go underground and then come up with roots all over this place. So the whole world is kind of crazy now. You don't know who you're talking to. It's not like you can really just trust your neighbor like you thought. When stuff starts unraveling and you start hearing the detail of what you've involved yourself with in their life, you're starting to trip about it. Where is this person at? The stuff they're saying, do they realize they sound like they are murderer? Or do they realize that they sound like they're a sex deviant? That you get it? Do you guys get what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, okay, so I think it's heightened, okay? That it's heightened. Sin is heightened. There's more of an invite to become a sinner. Wrong is right today. So the enemy has more of an influence. His siege is taking place. He's coming in to take the people. He's going to keep the people in a stronghold, unbelievable stronghold, one that they don't realize that they're under. It's like, because once he comes in, you're in denial about, well, should he be in? Well, it's okay. It's working out. He's in a little more, and pretty soon it's like, no, what are you talking about? I'm not sinning. You in here making guns. You know, you're manufacturing guns in your house and drugs. And I'm not sinning. This is going to pay off. I'm going to tithe. You know, so this is where the insanity kicks in. Stay in sin long enough and you become crazy. And the craziness is just not natural. It's supernatural. You're under the influence of demonic power. Look, believe me when I say it, don't think that Satan didn't play a role in some of the decisions you made before you came to Christ. And believe me that he's trying to influence you to make decisions now while you're in Christ to thwart the move of Christ. Okay? And he actually wants to shut Christ up so he can fulfill his craving. This entity wants to be praised and worshiped. Right? So I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it. Somehow. Okay. I always write more than I'm supposed to. But, yeah, and Ephesians is, okay, here. Okay, so I'm going to read Ezekiel 28, 1 through 19. So I'm going to read kind of fast. You guys write it down, but pay attention. 19. Okay. The word of this is Ezekiel. He got a word from the Lord. He was supposed to deliver to the king of Tyre. You guys have heard this before, right? Okay. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus says the Lord God. Because your heart is lifted up and you have said, I am God. I sit in the seat of the gods in the heart of the seas. Yet you are a man and not God, although you make your heart like the heart of God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. In other words, you think you're smarter than Daniel, right? There is no secret that is a match for you. By your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself and you have acquired gold and silver for your treasuries. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die the death of those who are slain in the hearts of the seas. Will you still say, I am God in the presence of your slayer, though you are a man and not God in the hands of those who wound you? You will die the death of an uncircumcised, of the uncircumcised, by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. Again the word came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I meant to go to 11 or to 10. So we'll revisit this, okay? Okay. All right, so here's the deal. God's pointing out, if all of us knew the king of Tyre, we might have an assumption about him. We might be looking at the king thinking, oh, this guy's ruthless. You know, he's a jerk, right? And he's all arrogant. He's always talking about himself. Maybe like Mark Zuckerberg, you know. He just thinks he's all this and that now. Or any of the others that once you get rich, you become an ambassador. Or, you know, all of a sudden you're like some leader, that a philanthropist leader that, you know, people turn to and just think the world of you because you got rich. So it's kind of like the enemy can go around and dub you and dub you and dub you. Okay, now all three of you are rich and all of a sudden you're wise in your own eyes. So if we were seeing the king of Tyre and we were seeing what God is describing, we would understand what God is saying. Now, if I was like involved with the king, if I were a merchant and I were selling things to his kingdom or something like that, I wouldn't see it the same as you would see it. Okay. I would be, no, that's a nice guy. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Yeah, right? Don't talk about the king. The king is okay. There's nothing wrong with the king. Right? He might have some flaws, but don't we all? Well, I'm carrying my bags of gold. Right? Okay. God sees things differently. He reads our hearts. And what the Lord is doing is he's exposing this heart and he's explaining through this situation to us where this kind of life or mentality leads to. Okay. What shapes our mentality? What makes us act or start thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think? I mean, a number of things come into play. I mean, our raising, the situations we were raised under. If you were like molested or something like that over and over again, you might not think too highly of yourself. You might not. You might think you're best served when you're serving someone that is again molesting you. Right? There's a mentality being formed, right, in your mind and heart. It's not a fair mentality. You know, it's not like God wants you to suffer these situations. It's not that. But the Lord can use these situations to show you just how steeped in sin you really were. Where's the sin come from? Well, you were born in it, shaped in it, shaped in iniquity. Okay? This is now you're responding like a sinner. Okay? So your mentality has been warped. If somebody calls you mental, the first thing you think is you're offending me. No, we're all mental. We all, how's our mental shape? What's going on with this mentality? Is it a mental shaping based on the world or is it being shaped based on the word of God? Right? Otherwise, I'm running around a product of my environment, right? And I'm doing everything that I think, look, there's been a siege. It was placed. It was planned. It was planned to take David and make David for use for the enemy long ago. But the Lord had a plan before that even, that David would make it through this and he would serve me And I would cure him of this mental status. I would actually shape his mind so that he can actually see things from a different vantage point, from a godly spiritual vantage point. Okay? So it's, look, we have to understand why some people think the way they think. They've been shaped in iniquity. Then if there's been an injustice, they think you're crazy talking about the Lord. What Lord, loving Lord, would allow these things to happen to me? Right? This is, look, this ain't rocket science. This is, let's think about this. So the compassion comes from, first of all, I'm not comparing my sin to yours. What am I saying here? I'm saying that we all have sin. And the perpetrators of the sin that we have had sin. So everybody's sin begets sin. It just keeps coming. It keeps coming. But we make it out because of the blood of Christ, because of the death of Christ, because of his resurrection. The power of Christ, we can be renewed by the thinking of our mind. Okay, he's going to change our mentality, right? Okay, so God calls us out and we're like, what are you talking about? I'm not all those things. And if you cared, why'd you let this and that happen to me? Okay, why did this happen? Why did I grow up without a father? Okay, why was my father so abusive, kicking my butt on a visit instead of bringing me toys? Why was my mother prostituting? You know, why was this? Do you love me? You know, so why is it that, you know, everybody was shooting up drugs in my house and I was, you know, why is this? Okay, so give me some answers. I want answers, right? I want answers to why my life took the turn. Why am I poor? You know what I drank? I drank mud for water. Okay, why is that? Why would you do this to me and say you're a loving God? And then here you come to Barbara's telling me, you know, God loves you. You know, he loves you. No. Okay, then look, it's gonna, look, flesh and blood can't reveal to me only what the Spirit of God can reveal to me. We're supposed to tell each other the truth of God, but it's falls short of what we're supposed to do in terms of laboring for the people by interceding for them and praying and fasting for them so that they can get it. I can go around all day and hold banners and placards up. Okay, but when I get through talking to this person on the street that has to sleep there tonight, I need to be praying for that person. I don't need to say I'm going to pray for you and not do it. I don't need praying hands on Facebook. I need to pray. This is how you fight these spiritual battles. You don't do it yourself. You pray to God. He can overturn all the circumstances, all this fortification from the strongholds the enemy has placed over this person to make this person think the way he thinks. Are you hearing me, saints? Bless the Lord. We don't fight spiritual battles in flesh suits, right? So, look, so the king of Tyre, okay, we'll continue visiting this from 11 to 19, right? Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God and have destroyed you, you covering cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that may see you. By the multitudes of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to the ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified and you will cease to be forever. Now, this is the second part of the proclamation that was delivered to the king of Tyre, who actually helped Solomon build his temple. Tyre, Jezebel came from Tyre. Okay, so it kind of tells you what's going on in Tyre. They were an idolatrous place full of wickedness, and fertility gods were being worshipped, and all this craziness was going on. But God exposed this king. Obviously, there's been some debate, and I tend to believe that, no, that there's a segue that when the Ezekiel, the prophet, is talking about this king, he segues over and begins talking about Satan, because this king wasn't in Eden. He wasn't on the holy mountain of God. He wasn't an anointed cherub. But this is funny, because yesterday when I was looking at this, I was thinking, well, why would the Lord have Ezekiel start out talking to you or to him in human nature, and then all of a sudden you're talking to the devil? And it dawned on me, who's inspiring this king? These attributes are demonic, right? This is demonic. So what the Lord doesn't, Jesus did it too. But Peter, oh no, never, Lord, get behind me, Satan. One minute you're Peter, the next minute you're Satan. Jesus called it, and I don't want you guys and me to start calling people Satan. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to recognize what we're dealing with here. That siege that's trying to take you over, that stronghold that has taken you over, it's demonic. This is how we deal with demonic influence and strongholds. We appeal to God. We don't start, well, I've been praying. Well, pray and fast. Fast. Well, I did fast for me. I've been fasting. Well, you fast. You don't eat for them. Well, is that too much to ask? You want to see a breakthrough? Do you know how people are thinking? You want to hear about some scatterbrains, which is mine, of course. So when I tell you about scatterbrains, mine scatters. But here's some scatterbrains. Scattered brains, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but I'm trying to say that we can be all over the place once we've started dealing with demonic forces. They don't play. They want you to be insane. I'm telling you, they're not a joke, okay? They don't want you to, they want you to think you're winning. I have a friend that's dealing with a daughter that has a mental issue right now. And she fluctuates, the mother. She fluctuates. The medicine. She needs to be on her medicine. When she takes the medicine, then everything will be fine. Oh, you know, that's demonic. I think she's demonic. She must have a demon. Oh, I got her this time. They took her and arrested her. Okay, so now she's being held captive. And she can't get out. And they're going to give her medicine. So I got her this time. Oh, they let her out and she hasn't had a bit of medicine. She's on her way over to my house. Okay, you see this, to me it's like a tennis match. You win a match and a round and you think you've won the game. Okay, this is what the enemy wants. Did you expect the world to really keep your daughter hostage? Did you really, in your own strength, by your own human ability, did you think that you really won the match if it's demonic? How do you call her demonically possessed one minute, and then it's a medicine issue the next minute? Okay? And then if it's a medicine issue, you're dealing with the medicine on the natural level. Yes, you want them to subdue her and give her the medicine she's been neglecting to take. But then you're high-fiving that they're doing it. Oh, I won this match. I won this round. No, what the devil wants is you to keep thinking it until you're in the hospital subdued. You get it? He wants you. He's going to use people you love. The people you love are the ones he's going to use. Okay, it wouldn't affect you so much if it was your neighbor across the street. You'd care. You might pray and stuff. But if it was your son, the devil could have you running around jumping over fiery stones. I'm trying to tell you, it's like he's clever in that we can't figure him out without the intervention of the king. He's the one that knows how to deal with these things. Don't waste your time. If you start down that road, stop and ask God, Lord, help me, because I'm thinking about doing thus and thus. Okay. And I failed to realize thus and thus didn't work. This is match number 25. Okay? It's look, another match. Okay? I'm in denial. My plans aren't working and my hair and teeth are falling out. Okay? This is what the enemy wants to do. Okay? What's the answer? It's just simple. We turn our issues over to God. We do it so much so that we're trying to be a pleasing entity to God, number one, in our walk. It's one thing to walk crooked and ask the Lord to straighten someone else's walk, right? So what we want to do is we want to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me in my walk. Because I really want to go do a whole lot of stuff that I'm witnessing right now. I really do. And if I don't tell you this truth, if I don't tell you about it, then I'm hypocritical in my heart, okay? I want to be effective. I need your help to resist my natural inclination to operate naturally. In supernatural situations, we need supernatural intervention, okay? And for the most part, if we think about it, for the most part, sure, there's people with mental issues. We're all mental. But the issues are being shaped by the devil. When they're sinful, when they're talking about, I should be a woman today. Clearly I'm born with male genitalia, right? My physical anatomy is male. But now the world is inviting me. You're not. No, you're not. Okay, so if I told Donna, you know, Donna, I feel like I want to be a woman today. You know, I feel like I'm going to go through with it. Okay, for one thing, I can go get, if I was going to do it, I'd get huge ones. Because, you know, think about it. Why be less than? Be a big woman. I'd get huge and huge everything and everything. Because the fact of the matter is, I hope I'm not look. Look, the fact of the matter is, we might have to strike this, okay, from the audio. But the fact of the matter is, if we revisit that guy, what's that guy, Jenner, if we revisit him, Kris Jenner, his first featured photo was him in the women's 90s, right? So what's your plan? A sexual attraction? It's not that you just feel you want to be a woman, but you want to be a sexual woman, right? Right? Okay, so I mean, if I was going to go, so here's the point. You can butcher everything on me. You could take everything that's sexual off of me and place all kinds of different tools and apparatuses on me. I would still be a man. I'm sorry. Okay, so what have I done? My mentality, it's a mental issue. That's not coming from God. God is not. Look, a lot of people feel they were born this way. But if God says don't live this way, then I'm going to deny my way and go his way. Because he knows what's best. Now, in any birth, yeah, there's going to be defects today because we're on a defective planet. Full of sin. It's sin all embedded in that we're living on a cemetery. It's nothing but death all embedded in it, right? Okay, so we're living this out. We're on this simple planet with simple flesh, and all this sin is occurring all around us. Okay? Look, I might be born with lacking something, or born with two of something, or you know, because this place is really yielding birth defects. But honest to goodness, this is for the Lord to decide, because if I was born with two, he even promises the eunuch a place at his table. You're right? That he doesn't say go cut and chip and saw away. He says, look, and even if you've sawed away and cut and chipped, you can still have a place at the table. Repent. You've been deceived. I've been deceived. Okay, this is what the enemy is doing. He's deceiving. He's laid a siege. He got in. He placed a stronghold over me because the whole world was in agreement with it. And I chose to follow the world. Okay? There's a strong... What's a stronghold? It has a strong hold. It holds you strong. It's strong. So listen, look, this is not, look, you guys know my story. I'm not trying to pick on anyone or anything. I'm trying to say we need to take everything to God, okay? We need to take it to the Lord. We need to consider the Lord. Is this really you? If I have a doubt that is you, or if I think that you don't care, then I need to pray. Lord, do you care? If you do care, could you make it real to me? Verify it. You know, am I hearing from the preponderance of the communications of the world and believing that they're just? Is it true? You know, do I have a doubt about you, Lord? I doubt you. I doubt you. So if I do, Lord, could you help me with my unbelief? That pray in those veins. Bless the Lord. But because God will do it. He'll change us up. He'll show us what we're dealing with. He'll give us what we need to deal with what we're dealing with. And he'll work in us to willing to do after his own good pleasure. Bless the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Father God. Father God.